You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
The op-ed in the Washington Post has this title, Planned Parenthood Isn't Political, It's Been Politicized. It lays blame for politicizing Planned Parenthood at anyone who questions anything Planned Parenthood says or does. It's written by the acting president and chief executive of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, Alexis McGill Johnson. We're going to be responding to this op-ed. Joining us to do so, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. Carol, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
I'm completely confused. So Leanna Wen was just fired as president of Planned Parenthood for wanting to promote the idea that the abortion provider was a healthcare organization. The Planned Parenthood board wanted her to do more to promote abortion itself, so they let her go. Why then is the new acting president there in the Washington Post saying, we are a healthcare provider, plain and simple?
It does sound a bit hypocritical, doesn't it? I think they saw the reaction they were getting. So many people looked at the firing of Dr. Wen and said, now they're just showing their true colors. They truly are all about abortion. And that had to affect them. That, I think, there was some backlash. So I would not be surprised if this op-ed trying to pretend that they are still interested in overall health care is just an attempt to kind of try to smooth things out a little bit.
Alexis McGill Johnson is the acting president of Planned Parenthood. She claims in the op-ed that the organization has been politicized by its opponents. How do you respond?
Well, I guess if we are using the political process to make changes, then she would be correct. We are trying to protect unborn babies, and this is one way that we can do it.
Talk, if you would, about Planned Parenthood's political machine. It is a very powerful organization, isn't it?
Oh, I would think Planned Parenthood is probably one of the strongest political arms within the Democratic Party. In the 2016 election, they spent more than $25 million. In 2018, when there wasn't a presidential campaign, they still announced that they were going to spend $20 million. They are heavily invested in making sure that candidates are elected who are going to turn around and continue the funding to their organization through tax dollars. So they've got a massive political arm. They are very effective in some ways.
Is it safe to say that, in essence, the Planned Parenthood is the tail that wags the dog of the Democratic Party right now at the national level?
Very much so. They were able to hold a political forum and have pretty much all of the Democratic presidential candidates show up to pay homage to Planned Parenthood. So pretty much right now, whatever they say for the Democratic Party is the party position.
And, of course, a lot of this has to do with political money. We talked, I think just the last time we had a conversation, we talked about how that funding of $500 million, I think, that goes to Planned Parenthood often just gets shuffled back around to the politicians who, as you said just a moment ago, make sure that that money keeps flowing.
They have to use different bank accounts. They've got the, Planned Parenthood, which is, the organization that provides the so-called healthcare services around the country, and they have an action, political action fund, and they have a political action committee, and they have a group called Planned Parenthood Votes. So they do raise money in separate ways, different regulations depending on which entity it is, but it is all part of one huge pot where they raise money, they elect candidates, those candidates then turn around and try to get tax funding back to the organization for things like the Title X program or Medicaid services. There is a law that says they can't be reimbursed for performing abortions, but they are getting funding for pretty much everything else they do.
Johnson claims that in the op-ed that 25 million women stand to lose access to abortion if Roe v. Wade is overturned. Is that true?
I wish it was. I think she's referring to 25 million women as, you know, potential women who can get pregnant and might, you know, want an abortion. But, you know, thank goodness that doesn't happen because, you know, we've got less than a million abortions a year, so obviously a lot of these women are choosing life. But if Roe v. Wade is overturned, what's going to happen is that the decision as to whether or not abortion is allowed within a particular state will be determined by that state. So as we have seen in the last few months, New York, Maine, Vermont, Illinois, Rhode Island, you know, they passed laws to say, we aren't going to have any limits whatsoever on abortion. And then you've got other states that are saying, we are going to do everything we can to protect unborn children. That's the kind of debate we are in the battles that we are going to see if Roe v. Wade is overturned. So I wish it were true that women would lose access to abortion because that would mean we are saving those babies. But it's going to be a 50-state battle if that decision is overturned.
Johnson doesn't seem especially familiar with the history of Planned Parenthood. She writes this, more than 100 years ago, Planned Parenthood was founded by a group of nurses and activists providing birth control and family planning information to women. Could you tell us how Planned Parenthood was really founded?
Well, the main leader, the first president, the woman recognized as the founder of Planned Parenthood is Margaret Sanger, and she was very concerned that women, you know, be able to control whether or not they get pregnant and have kids. But there, for her, it was much more sinister because she was trying to say that people in the poor and minority communities should not be having children. So even though she was talking about women being able to make that decision, she was definitely putting her efforts towards weeding out what she considered to be the undesirable people in society. And that's kind of been ignored or forgotten by the current leaders of Planned Parenthood.
Johnson says that Planned Parenthood's opponents are the ones who are politically motivated. How do you respond to that?
I would say that pro-lifers are motivated to protect unborn children. And if we can use the political process to do that, we certainly are and we will. I don't know that I would say that's politically motivated, but we're using politics because we are motivated to save those babies.
She claims that the opponents of Planned Parenthood simply want the government to control women's bodies, and that's commonly claimed. Why do you oppose abortion and Planned Parenthood?
Well, it certainly isn't because I want to control someone else's body. Every abortion includes at least two lives, the mother and the unborn child. And we believe this is a human being that deserves protection. This is the biggest civil rights battle of our day. And we want to protect babies. You know, I have no intention or no desire to control anybody's body, but we do want to protect those bodies that can't protect and defend themselves.
Johnson mentions Title X. You mentioned it a moment ago. What is it and why does she object to the Trump administration's recent action on Title X?
Title X is a family planning program started by the federal government back in 1970, even before abortion was legal. And the law at that time, when it was passed, said that the funds provided for Title X will not be used to provide or promote abortions. It has, of course, kind of evolved over the years as abortion became more readily acceptable, and President Trump said those funds are not going to go to any organization or agency or facility that is using abortion as a method of family planning. And if you are doing abortions, you cannot be reimbursed for Title X family planning funds if that's happening in the same facility. So if Planned Parenthood wants to receive Title X funds, they would have to set up a completely separate location, different building, different staff, to keep it separate from abortion. And Planned Parenthood doesn't like that. So at this point, they have said that they are going to refuse to accept that money, which is roughly $60 million that Planned Parenthood has received in previous years. And they have said they are going to forego that because to them, abortion is more important.
Finally, can Planned Parenthood have it both ways, as the acting president appears to want to have it in the op-ed piece, claiming on the one hand to be just another health provider, but also aggressively promoting abortion?
Well, you've heard that old adage about you can't put lipstick on a pig. This is the same thing. They are trying to cover up what they do, killing more than 300,000 unborn children every year with broad claims about the health care that they provide. But if you look at their statistics, you can see that their breast exams are down, their pap smears are down, their distribution of contraceptives are down. They don't have mammogram machines. They're not licensed to use them. The only service that Planned Parenthood is increasing over the years is abortion. So they're using health care to try to put goodwill among the communities, but we can't let that happen because they are in the game of killing babies.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to National Right to Life under the on-demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Carol, thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Todd.
We'll be playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week on the other side of this break. We're going to play our four soundbites for you. After we've played them, you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or you can vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. We have a soundbite from Molly Hemingway on what grade she gives the media and their coverage of the Kavanaugh hearings. We have Pastor Matt Harrison talking about the Lutheran moment. Dr. Doyle Holbird on whether or not evolution can fit into the creation account. And Pastor Robert Zagor on evangelism for life. Those are the soundbites. We'll play them for you after this. What is a life of discipleship? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Luther's Small Catechism, a manual for discipleship. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Professor John Pless. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Luther's Small Catechism, a manual for discipleship, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
The LCMS mission in Gambia is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During July, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the LCMS mission in Gambia. Learn more at lutheranfcu.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran liberal arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.